Nitrogen loss in 2008 from Midwestern cornfields. There you go, sir.
Thank you, Keith. Greg was talking about, this session's on nutrient losses. Greg was talking about, well, we didn't have very much. I think I've got the opposite story. And so when I put in my abstract, you know, I knew that we lost a lot in 2008. And since then, well, I'm going to have to add 2009 in here. But even though I'm doing 2 years, I'm going to do it fairly quickly. I'm hoping that we can have a few minutes of discussion at the end. So I think the light switch is back in that corner of the room, and I'm hoping we can turn it on when time comes. What was going on here? Well, we had a lot of water. And inside that black line, we had more than 16 inches of rain from April through June, and that's kind of my rule of thumb for we're probably going to have trouble with not having enough nitrogen on our crop. And what did we see? Well, a lot of yellow corn. And this field back over here is a cornfield too. You see a yellow patch there and a couple more over here. But basically that looks like they were a lot more successful delivering nitrogen to that crop than they were over in this field. And there's two things I want to point out over in this field. You see effects of landscape position, and that's probably a low spot in there. And then you see also various kinds of streaks out there that may be related to management. I'm not sure that that's true in this field. It might be just a split planter, but certainly I see a lot of streaks out there, and you'll see some more in a minute. So this was taken in a river bottom in northwest Missouri in August 2008, and this is a pretty flat field. It's one of those fields where we're probably looking at just 8 inches of topography between that point and that point. And you can throw a stone from one to the other, and we probably made 120 more bushels over here than we did over here just because of nitrogen loss and availability. So landscape was controlling it. This was taken while I was on vacation, and my family wouldn't even let me stop and stop the car to take a picture. It was taken out of a moving vehicle. But you can see that there's a bunch of yellow corn here in the foreground, a big yellow patch back there, some over there. And you can't really see it, but the cast of that whole hillside was kind of light colored. This is central Iowa from late August. And you can see even the better corn in this photo is not very good at all. But what you see is dark green streaks running through it of uneven width. And I'm thinking spinner spreader. So these really show up, uneven applications really show up when you get loss conditions, and we've got a lot of them out there. I was contacted about a potential lawsuit this year, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be involved in that at all, but you know, the best I could say in someone's defense is everyone else is doing it too, because we've got a lot of this out there when we find loss conditions. So I did both a windshield survey, that's all the colored lines, places that I drove in August last year. The black line is the place where I had my pilot fly and take aerial photos. She took about 1,500 of them, and I couldn't quite handle that, but I looked carefully at every 100th photo, and all of these are my opinions. I'm just doing seat of the pants, either looking at what I was seeing on the edges of the fields as I was driving or looking at these photos and writing a number on every field of what I think is the average and then just averaging whatever, you know, 6 or 8 fields might be in a photo. And so when I put all those together and kind of extrapolate them out to places that I didn't see based on the rainfall map, these are the numbers that I came up with for last year. And looking at 185 million bushels of potential production lost in Iowa due to the nitrogen deficiency. And coming in distant second, third, and fourth was Illinois, Missouri, and Wisconsin in the 60 to 80 million bushel range. So my estimate for last year over 9 states was 463 million bushels that we could have produced if we hadn't run out of nitrogen in those fields. And we had some very good yields anyway. The same thing that hurt us in this way was what made us have good yields, which was we had to not have water stress in terms of not having enough all summer long. And particularly for us in Missouri, we don't have soils that hold water, so we need to keep getting rain, and we did, and we did, and we did. So many of these yields could have been better. We had a lot of people with 160 bushel corn that should have had 195. What could have been done to prevent or cure this? Last year, this is a couple of pictures of some plots that I have near Columbia. And over here on the left, the picture had 180 pounds of nitrogen applied at planting. Over here, 110 was applied at side dress, V5 about knee high, and made 38 more bushels in this plot than in this plot. They're adjacent plots. And I've got pictures of that same experiment from this year. It's a longer term experiment. And same thing this year. The side dress plots all stand out. No matter what rate we put on, they all look better than all the pre-plant plots, no matter what rate we put on. And just observation, just kind of casual observation, what I've seen with producers is if they had put in-season in on this year, their corn looked good. If they didn't, it might and it might not. There's certainly people that went all pre-plant that look okay, and I don't know what the common thread is there. So 2009, we had deja vu all over again. Inside this black line, again, more than 16 inches from April through June, all of Missouri pretty much, 80% of Illinois, probably 60% of 50-60% of Indiana. And so I saw driving cross-country, same yellow corn that I'd seen in 2008. That's central Illinois. Here's northeast Missouri. And you see the terrible streaking, and the green streaks hardly make up any of that field. It's mostly yellow streaks, but at least that defines where the green streaks are. And I've got tons of pictures. This year, I did every 70th aerial photo, and the black line shows the path that my pilot flew within that high rainfall area. The colored lines, again, show where I drove in August. In and out, and the numbers are my bushels per acre estimates of how much yield we lost, averaged across those regions. Just terrible in northeast Missouri. I was averaging 50 bushels with my eyeball estimates. So if I do the same thing and kind of extrapolate out to the places that I wasn't using the rainfall maps, I come up with 250 million bushels in Illinois, 113 in Missouri, 62 in Indiana, some on down in the south. I'm going to actually go back. One thing that happened this year that I'd never seen before is down here in southeast Missouri and maybe even on into Arkansas, I saw deficiency. And because everyone there side dresses, usually that's enough to take care of that situation. But this year, it looked to me like we actually had yield losses, even those places where they pretty much all side dress. It wasn't as much as in other locations, but it was awful wet. So my total estimate for eight states this year is 518 million bushels, which is even more than in 2008. So when I put this in, I said, this is the biggest I've ever seen. And then we got one that I think was bigger on a regional scale. Again, very good yields, lots of water, supported that corn crop, which needs a lot of water, but many of these yields could have been better. I don't know if that's what had happened to corn price, if they were, but... So two-year totals, I've got numbers written on the states, and this is over this year's rainfall map, but Illinois leads with Iowa second and Missouri third, but quite a bit of corn that could have been made that wasn't. And I've got 1.1 billion bushels up there. Now, I could be wrong by quite a bit. I'm not going to argue about a couple hundred million bushels either way. But with that, I'd be happy to try to get some discussion going or answer any questions anyone might have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't. I'm trying to think of cases where I might have had some definitive evidence, but we just generally have, as you go on into Missouri and on farther north, you got a lot more organic matter, and sulfur is going to come right back out, and it mineralizes. The more water you have, the more sulfur you're going to get out of your soil. Some of it could have been sulfur, because it will move just as easily as the nitrogen will. So that's a very valid point. Some of that might have been sulfur.
Other discussion, Peter? Question?
Hey, Peter, have you thought about maybe contacting some of the other land-grant university specialists in those respective states to try to shore up that number where they have some regional sites and they have some on-farm nitrogen rate studies? Maybe they've evaluated timing within those 2 years just to get more of a comfort level with that estimate?
Not a bad idea.
Considered that or thought about that?
I hadn't thought of it. It's a good idea. It would take, some time, but not that much. The idea I did have was get yield maps to go with some of the aerial photos. And at least within a field, you could document it that way. When you got the aerial photo, the spatial pattern, you geo-reference that aerial photo, you get the yield map, and you say, what color went with how much real yield loss? And it could be approached either of those ways. I mean, if we really put a lot of work into it, we get some of the yield maps, calibrate it, and then apply it to all the rest of the aerial photos. And with 1,500 aerial photos, you could get, at least for the places where the plane went, a pretty good handle on it. Adding in some of the places where, we don't have any information, and I'm just extrapolating based on the rainfall map, would certainly increase the how good those estimates are. All I'm saying is the estimates don't have to be very good.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to just say we got a big number out there. I don't know how big it is, but it's big, and just trying to raise awareness of that and the fact that maybe we need to do something a little better than this. You know, it's really one of the things I didn't get done was to put this in terms of what's the total profit on our corn crop in a year. But I think, you know, that loss, because, you know, here's your gross on the corn crop and here's your input costs and that's your profit right there. And I think we're looking at probably half or more of the profit on average year's corn production got lost each of these 2 years on production that didn't happen. Now, we made money anyway because we had excellent yields. But I'm saying in a normal year, the money that we'd make would be in the same order of magnitude as the money we lost these 2 years. And, you know, we have to plant. We have to, you know, prepare the seed bed. We have to put fertilizer down. We have to put herbicide and spray. We have to do a whole bunch of operations to make this much money. And really, in many of those fields, we could have made half that much with one operation of getting out there with a rescue application.
I saw one hand over here. Gentlemen, is there somebody over here?
Yes, I'm wondering about the environmental implications of this lost nitrogen. Are you suggesting most of it is leached? And if so, is there evidence of increased contamination of well water or surface water? And would this be an opportunity to examine worst-case scenarios for environmental contamination?
Long question, but it's all about the environmental side. Where did that nitrogen go, and are there opportunities for things that could be done? And I think there are. I mean, I think when you get something of this magnitude, it gets people's attention, and maybe there. But when you look at how do you get it done, well, you have funding. And how do you have funding? Well, someone decides it's worth putting some money into, and you all know that the speed that those systems work at is very slow. It doesn't mean that this wouldn't be a way to leverage an event and say, you know, we need to look at this and we need to figure out what happens, and, you know, maybe we need to spend more money on prevention in the future. But my thought is a lot of it went up in the air. Now, that may not be benign either, but what I started a nitrogen watch feature on my website this year, and every week I was getting updated precip maps and mapping where it was on track to be more than 16 inches from April through June. And I consider that to be more important for leaching on well-drained soil. So I had a separate map for well-drained and poorly drained. The poorly drained, I figure, is mostly denitrification, and that's really not happening much in April, because May and June, when the temperatures are substantially warmer, is when it really cranks up and the rate is faster. So, but certainly, some of it got in water. There is no doubt about that. And, you know, I think that is a big part of the story and a big part of the picture. Paul. Well, the same as it was last year, because we had, you know, in 08 we had a similar occurrence, and I actually had been telling them that for years. I mean, every year we have somewhere in Missouri that this happens. The difference the last 2 years has been widespread across the Midwest, but I tell them they need to have a plan in place. I don't tell them they need to go with in-season applications, although that is, you know, if you do that, you're much more ironclad and much better off as far as not risking your crop. But they're either ready to go with that, and they already know it, or they're not, and they're not going to no matter what I say. Almost, although I'm going to give a talk in about 45 minutes, I think, where I'll be talking about showing some data where they actually have started increasing their side dressing. But really what I tell them, you have to have plan B in place before you plant for the rescue nitrogen. That doesn't help the environmental side a bit, but it helps the production side, that if you put it down and you lose it, you've got plan B. You know which pilot you're going to call, and you know, you're not going to, during the heat of the season, manage to come up with those logistics. Very few people put rescue applications on, but lots of people would have made money doing it. It's just that they can't come up with that plan while it's happening. You need to have that plan in place during the winter so that if you lose it, you know what you're going to do. That's my message.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot, Keith.